The question at the heart of these verses, as you might have gathered, is how can we be clean before God? And by the way, there's a little outline in your bulletin, so if you want to follow along, that's where we're heading. And the context here is that Jesus is having a major controversy with the religious leaders about ritual purity. They had complained to Jesus that his disciples hadn't ritually cleansed themselves before eating a meal. And we saw last week that this had nothing to do with hygiene, it had to do with ritual purity. Now, according to the laws of Moses, if you touched something unclean, it might be a dead body of an animal or another human being, or you ate food from unclean animals, such as pork, you were considered to be ritually defiled, unclean and impure. That meant you couldn't go into the temple, you couldn't go in to worship God, you were defiled, you were ceremonially unclean. And you had to separate yourself from a time, from the community, and from going to the temple, and you had to do the required ritual washings. And the washing and cleaning was basically a symbol. It was a physical aid to people to remind them that they were spiritually and morally unclean. That's what it was. It was just a symbol. Now, you might think, well, that's very odd and antiquated and old-fashioned and so on, but it's not really, because people still do the same things today. Some people fast as a way of developing spiritual hunger, don't they? Some people kneel in order to develop a sense of humility before God. And so ritual cleansing is like that. It's simply an aid to people to remind them that God was holy, and that if you were going to approach God, you needed to be cleansed first. But what had happened was the religious leaders, the Pharisees, had actually externalized all this. And they had emphasized the outward performance of these washings and the conformity to all these regulations, a sort of legalistic approach to it. And they had sort of a mechanical obedience. They thought that the mechanical obedience would actually please God. But Jesus is interested in the state of the heart. Is your heart clean before God? And in verse 14 there, he turns away from the Pharisees and he actually speaks to the crowds. He turns away from the religious leaders and speaks to the crowd, because the religious leaders are leading the people astray with their legalistic teachings. And he calls to the crowd, and listen to what he says. He says, "Listen to me, everyone. And understand this, nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." In other words, Jesus is saying, think about it. The problem is inside, it's not outside. Food does not make you a sinner. Eating pork doesn't make you a sinner. Nor can abstaining from pork make you any more holy. Food simply goes in one end and out the other. What makes you a sinner is what lives in your heart, says Jesus. And he gives us a pretty heavy list here, doesn't he, of what lives in our hearts. Have a look at this list here in verse 21. It's an incredible list. "For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts." And I want you to ask yourself, is that true for me? Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these things, says Jesus, come from inside and make a man unclean. And I want to draw out just very briefly this morning three implications of what Jesus is saying here. The first implication is this, that we all need cleansing. Every one of us here needs cleansing. What Jesus is implying here is this, that our hearts are unclean, our hearts are a factory of evil, starting with our inward thoughts that leads to outward actions, that trigger outward actions. Now, that idea is opposed so much by our popular culture today, isn't it? Our popular culture will not acknowledge that, because our culture tells us that human beings are basically good, that their hearts are basically good, that every person has sort of rights and dignity, and that we don't see people as unclean or defiled at all. And so to many people, the list that Jesus gives here is just far too strong. the liberal optimist, the sentimentalist, the wishful thinker, the humanist, they don't like what Jesus says here at all about them and about us, that we are the problem, that our hearts are unclean. And it's not that the Christian is a cynic, not at all. It's that the Christian and Jesus is a realist. And we just need to read our newspapers, don't we, friends? I mean, what's happened in Mumbai, where does that come from? The human heart. The power struggle in Zimbabwe that has resulted in all this misery for the whole country. Where does that come from? The human heart. A father in England raping his two daughters for 20 years. Where does that come from? The little boy who's sadistically abused and killed by his mother and stepfather. They're just the things that we hear about. What's happening in your neighbourhood that you don't see? I've often heard it, people say, why do people do such things? Well, I think if you can think of a better answer than verses 21 and 22, let me know after the service. We are fallen, rebellious creatures, and our hearts are like that, says Jesus. That's the answer that Jesus gives. Now, you might say, well, that's those evil people out there. I'm not like that. I've never done things like that in my life. But Jesus is saying to you, look into your heart and what lives there. Would you be happy for your life to be exposed, for everything that lives in your heart to be exposed for all to see? Every detail, every thought, every action. You know, Franz Kafka wrote a book called The Trial. It was made into a movie twice, and once in 1962 and once in 1993. I'm told, I haven't seen these movies, but I'm told they're quite boring. But the story is of a man called Joseph K., who is arrested and taken into custody. And nobody tells him what his crime has been, why he's being arrested, what he's being accused for. And he goes from one hearing to the next and one custody hearing to the next, and nobody will explain it to him. They're all simply hard and unsympathetic and officious in their dealings with this man. And so he starts to think, maybe it's because of this that I did years ago, or maybe it was because of that. That wasn't so bad, was it? Maybe this happened or that happened. And he goes on through the entire book not really knowing what he's accused of, but having very strong doubts about how he's lived his life. And in the end, one of the people who has him in custody stabs him with a knife and he dies. It's a great story, isn't it? That's the end of the book. But it makes a powerful point, and the author actually writes it in his diaries. This is what he writes. We live in a world now, we don't believe in heaven or hell, we don't believe in sin, and yet we still feel that there was something wrong with us. We still have a profound, inescapable sense that if we were examined, we would not pass. If we were inspected, we would be rejected. We have this deep, profound sense that we've got to keep and hide and control what people know about us. Is that true for you? You've got to keep and hide and control what people know about you? It is of me. We have a deep sense that we are unacceptable, that we need to be cleansed. Why is it that some of you and some of us work so hard? What are we trying to prove? Why is it that some of us crave acceptance from others? Why is it that you are so afraid of commitment? You're keeping your options open. Where does all that self-doubt come from? Well, you know, we call it complexes. My parents didn't love me enough. But Jesus says, no, we're unclean. Our hearts are not right before God. And we all need cleansing. And the Christian is bound to accept that, not just because it's written here in the Bible, in God's Word, but because the moment the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and begins to work in our lives, he shows us a little bit of ourselves. He doesn't show it all at once. Thank goodness that he doesn't show it all at once. He shows us a little bit of what lives in our hearts when he comes into our lives. And that's exactly what's happened to James. we need the cleansing. Second thing that Jesus implies here is this: we can't cleanse ourselves. It'll never work. Look at verses 18 and 19. Jesus says to his disciples, "Don't you see that nothing enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, then out of his body." And then down to verse 21, "For from within, out of a man's heart, come evil." And what Jesus is saying is this: the problem is in the heart, and no matter how hard you try to fix things externally in your life, to do the right thing, to the cleansing rituals of the Old Testament, or any external observances, through hard work or trying to be a moral person or being religious, even through working hard in ministry, as I do, it won't fix our hearts. Because we are trying to cleanse ourselves from the outside in, and that will never work, says Jesus. And Jesus uses quite a simple but vivid illustration there. I'm glad for the diagram of the human body that Mel showed us before. When you eat food, it goes into your mouth and into your stomach and out through your anus, doesn't it, really? That's what the NIV is actually saying. It sanitizes it here, but that's what it's saying. The point is, it never gets to the heart. It doesn't change your heart. Being religious will not wash your heart clean. All the religious practices, even good ones like reading the Bible and prayer and meeting together, whether it be in a conservative meeting or a charismatic meeting or any sort of meeting, won't wash your heart clean. That won't. Because when things go wrong, you start to wonder and you say, well, have I done enough? Have I worshipped enough? Have I read my Bible enough? Why is this happening to me? Maybe I haven't been living the way I should be. Maybe I haven't been living up the way I should. Being a religious person won't help you. Being a moral person won't wash your heart clean either. Because no one is perfect, no matter how hard you try. We've all failed to live up at some point or other. We've all failed to love God, and we've all failed to love others the way we should. Where will you go with those failings, no matter how much you minimize them? You know, I'm not as bad as him. I haven't been a bad bloke in my life. Trying to be a moral person won't wash your heart clean. Working hard won't wash your heart clean either. Not even working hard in church, in ministry. Why not? Because the good and the bad we do is not something that we simply weigh up on the scales. Justice doesn't work like that. When you break the law, the judge doesn't say, well, how many good things have you done? Oh, that outweighs the bad thing you've done, so we won't sentence you. Justice doesn't work like that. Every crime needs to be paid for. You can't get rid of the stains of sin by working hard, by making up for it in some way. It might make you feel good about yourself, but it doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't change the heart. Because all of these things are working from the outside in, do you see? You'll never cleanse your heart that way, says Jesus. So what's the solution? And this is my last point. The answer is that only Jesus can cleanse our hearts. Look at the end of verse 19. There's a little clue there. It says there, in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. It doesn't say he said that all foods were clean. He declared them. He pronounced them clean. In one sentence, Jesus assumes the authority over the word of God. He fulfills all the Old Testament laws, and he gives his followers the freedom to eat any food. Pork is back on the menu. And this is what shocks the religious leaders. The boundaries are being shifted, and we're forced to ask, who does Jesus think he is here? Why does he say that? Who does he think he is? And that's a question that we all need to face. Who does Jesus think he is? And Mark tells us in his gospel, if you read the rest of the gospel, Mark tells us that he is the Son of God, who God sent into the world to save the world. He came to cleanse us from our sins. And the old hymn that we'll sing in a moment tells us how we're made clean. It says this: what can cleanse, wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus came not just to tell us that we need to be cleansed from the inside out. He actually came to wash us clean by his own blood, the blood that was shed on the cross to pay for our sin. And so in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. We might be whole before God. And 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God, to bring us into relationship with God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so Jesus is able to take away our sins. He's able to cleanse our hearts. And as I finish now, I want to ask you a question. Do you agree with this? Is this talking about you? Do you think you're a hopeless case? I know I am. I'm a hopeless case. Do you believe that you need deep cleansing from God through Jesus Christ? I know, and I knew I did years ago. That's why I became a Christian, and that's why I'm a Christian still today. And unless you have that, you are still part of the problem and not the solution. You've heard James's testimony, haven't you? How Christ has come into his life and cleansed his heart from sin, and how he can now stand before God, not better than anyone else, but in the freedom of Christ's forgiveness and love. What about you? Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, says the scripture, don't harden your heart. We have an opportunity now, don't we? We have an opportunity now to cry out to God, don't we? Are you conscious of the evil within? Shocked by the discovery of what you're capable of? Well, my friend, why not cry out to God, the living Lord Jesus Christ, and ask him to give you the Holy Spirit, to regenerate your heart, and to wash you with his precious blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. What a treasure it is to be able to have this word and to read it and to understand how you have sent Jesus into the world to save the world. It's not religion, Lord. It's not good works. It's not legalisms. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that saves us. Thank you for that reminder this morning. And Lord, will you convict that in deep within our hearts, that we may too believe on Jesus, trust in him and serve him. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.